Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
At the moment, Gedalia Bloom is a partner, co-founder of the Heartland Initiative. Gedalia, good morning. How are you? Are you better? Firstly,
good,
I believe
you. How are you?
You were ill. Are you better?
Yeah, I was sick in bed for about a week during this whole war. So, you know, my wife was taking care of the 8 kids alone while everybody's home under air sirens every few minutes. So she's the hero of our house.
Right, exactly. Which means that pretty much you're not. But okay, you can go back to being the hero now if you are feeling better. So let's just talk about what is happening. First of all, what is the Israeli public morale looking like? Because life is complicated.
Yeah, I mean, it's really split, just like everybody has different outlooks in life, especially in Israel. And I'll tell you, I see a very clear, direct split. And I'm not saying anything against anybody who's religious or not religious, but there seems to be a mindset that's significantly different. I'm in the heartland of Israel.
Right.
I live in Eli,
right,
which is predominantly national religious, very, very optimistic. Even when things are going bad, we always know at the end things are going to be good. That's what faith is. And then there's those that are maybe outside, maybe in the center of the country, Tel Aviv, where everything is just terrible. You know, much more secular community. You know, everything is Bibi's fault.
Mm.
The air sirens are enough. We need a ceasefire right now. We're done with this. We can't be woken up in the middle of the night with our children. And so there doesn't seem to be an end game. So there seems to be a bit of a split here in Israel. I wouldn't say that it's predominantly the cynics who are kind of taking over the attitude here. I really believe that there's much more optimism here, though. And, you know, just like you're cleaning a dirty pot after Shabbat. Mm. You know, it seems like it's getting a lot dirtier before, you know, after you start. But right. once you rinse it out, it's clean. And I think that's pretty much the attitude that I have, at least. And I see that around me, that everybody understands that this is something that's been 20 years in the making, and we're finally getting it done. And not only that, but the greatest threats that we've always faced when facing an Iranian a nuclear program were the Iranian proxies, which now, of course, are either not pretty much non-existent or sitting this one out. Because
right.
they,
which is so interesting, been, because two observations on this is, number one, my sense was, and maybe it pertains to me, maybe it's my own view of it, is there was this tremendous fear of Iran itself. You know, you could deal with Hezbollah, deal with Hamas, deal with the Houthis, but Iran itself was always a little bit scary. And to some extent, last year when Iran fired those missiles directly at Israel, as frightening as it was, everybody survived, and that meant that now it removed that factor that said we could never go directly to war with Iran. So that's the first thing, is maybe that element has been somewhat reduced, which is a good thing. And then the second thing is it's been stripped bare, because there are no proxies that are particularly keen to get involved, clearly, at this point, which really does create a potential to clean this out, to use your pot analogy, properly for the first time because of those factors. Your thoughts?
Yeah, and I think that's where the optimistic attitude is coming from, is because we understand that, number one, like you said, that Iranian strength, really, now we're seeing it, their strength really came from their proxies. It's kind of like one of these, you know, one of these old gangster movies where you see the mob boss is like a really short, fat guy.
Yes,
and he's surrounded
exactly.
by his goons. And that's kind of what we're seeing today. And you know what? This isn't just Israel. We're seeing this in Lebanon. We're seeing it with the Lebanese people. We're seeing this in Syria. We're seeing this all around the Middle East, especially in the Gulf states, where everybody is really really was fearful of the Iranian regime, not knowing what their full potential strength was. But you know what? I'll tell you what right now. This is not really a time to celebrate, because as you know, when regimes like this are threatened and they have their back against their wall, this is like Custer's last stand. And I think that with what you were just saying about the misplaced uranium, this could be turned into a dirty bomb. This could be delivered in a ballistic missile. This could be delivered, a sleeper cell across Europe. You just never know what they're going to do, because they don't have this idea of mutually,
mutually assured destruction.
Yeah. So we're not dealing with a regime like we were under the Soviet Union. We're dealing with a much more dangerous one, especially with the back against the wall. So I think it's important at one point to be optimistic, and the other side is to not let our guards down. Israel's been sheltered in, we were just in our shelter last night, 3 a.m. And it's easy to say, well, look how many missiles came over, look how many are being intercepted, look how many injuries there are barely any. We're dealing with a lot of collateral damage, but overall, I mean, we don't feel like we're in physical danger here, and that's not a time for people to let their guard down. The reason why there's no physical danger on a large scale is because we are very cautious. We need to keep that level up while also keeping our by keeping a good attitude, because I mean, especially me, I have children, and I don't want this to be a point in their life where they're going to look back at the trauma. Right. So it's very important for myself to keep it light and to keep it normal any way I can.
The other question is the communities around the world. We've already seen there's concern about communities in Europe. There was an arrest in Cyprus over the weekend of a potential a terror attack by an Iranian sponsored or an Iranian motivated person. This is clearly a concern everywhere, because as the regime becomes more and more threatened, and as you said, back to the wall, we can expect this type of thing to happen, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, I do hope, and what a report did come out yesterday is that because of the hacking of the banking system by Israelis, by a non-state actor, this is, I think, a bunch of hackers are just like, let's just disrupt the whole banking system there. The IRGC, the IRGC rank and file soldiers on the ground were not getting paid on time, and they're upset. Right. These are reports that came up. They were upset. So it really begs the question on whether or not the regime has only a core of extremists. Ideological.
Yeah.
And then once you go out of that inner circle, are we dealing with people who are willing to, look for a different job if money's not coming in? So these sleeper cells in Europe, these sleeper cells in the United States that are being threatened now, if they even exist, are they going to go home? Are they going to find a different career if they're not getting paid? That's a big question. And if so, I mean, either way, we need to continue to disrupt the banking system. We need to make sure that the Iranian regime doesn't have the opportunities to continue financing this war.
Gedalia Blum, we need to leave it there. Thank you. I wish you a full recovery, but you're sounding good. Gedalia is the co-founder of the Heartland Initiative.